From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. This is the day the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we are glad to welcome in Father Bart Landry, the coordinator, the head of the Black Catholic Council here, the ministry here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Father Bart, good day to you.
Good day to you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm just loving the weather. It finally cooled off. You are more in the Bay Area. You don't get quite the same amount of heat we get here in the Valley.
Not quite. I'm in the Valley there twice a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I have office hours at the Pastoral Center.
Are those the cool days of the week?
Yes. So I get a taste of both.
Yeah. Bring some of that fog and cool air with you.
I often say I leave heaven and I go to earth.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's been a long hot summer as always, but it's finally cooling down. So tell us about the goals, and I mean it seems obvious from the title, but tell us about the goals and the hurdles, if you will, with the ministry.
The ministry itself presents many challenges in the sense that we are navigating through very tough times today in the church and in society, where racial and ethnic groups are seeking honest and sincere validation for the gifts that they offer, both to society as well as the church. And sometimes the challenge is being that voice that people can hear, and being that voice that people want to hear. So it's not just about identity and reminding people of who we are as an ethnic ministry, but it is also the challenge of helping them to understand what gifts it is that we're actually speaking of, those special gifts that we have to offer as an ethnic group. And that's a pretty big challenge, mm-hmm. because, you know, in society and even in our church, we can get very stuck in one mindset.
Indeed. Indeed, and it's I could tell you, growing up through the so-called civil rights movement in the 60s, which really started much earlier than that. I mean, people have been fighting for civil rights ever since they came to this country, but things change, and you think you're making progress, and then there are times when you wonder if you're making progress.
Absolutely. And, you know, on the other side of that coin, it is keeping the community, in particular the Black and African-American community, reasonably together and continuing in that hope, because there can be moments of discouragement, moments of apprehension, when the question is raised, will anything change from this experience? Will anything change from my participation in this ministry? And if there's not fruits that are seen or fruits that are born from the ministry, you lose people. You lose their participation. You lose their energy. You lose their hope. And so it becomes a challenge to be the evangelizers that we are called to be when you lose one voice or two voices or three voices.
Yeah, amen. So talk about the ministry and what you do within the ministry.
Within the Black Catholic Ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento, the ministry is parish-based means every parish that is interested in having a Black Catholic ministry is welcomed to do it. And the way in which we unite these different chapters from the various parishes is going to be through the Black Catholic Council. And the council is made up of 2 to 3 members from every parish or ethnic group that is the makeup of the parish. Mm-hmm. They have representation on the council itself. And so that facilitates communication and distribution of calendars and events that we're all having together. So it starts on the ground level, if you will, on the parish level, where people of the Black and African American community can fully participate in their parish while at the same time being in a ministry of welcoming others into the Black Catholic ministry. And we really believe that a person does not have to be Black or African American in order to be a part of the ministry. Mm-hmm. But we welcome anyone who shares our desire or the understanding of our spirituality to be evangelizers about the gifts and the talents that Black Catholic spirituality offers to the greater church.
So you talk about various ethnic groups. How many groups are represented in this diocese?
When we speak of the Nigerians,
uh-huh.
And the Nigerians have, you know, the Africans have several different groups. So not just from Nigeria, but we also have the Swahili community.
Mm-hmm.
We have a community from Sierra Leone, and we have the African American community.
Right.
And so you're looking about 5 or 6 different communities that make up the Black Catholic ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento, because while it is specifically called a Black Catholic ministry, but it is also for people of color.
Right. So somebody out there that's not African American, not Black, would like to participate, would like to be a part of this, would like to be, what's a role for them?
A role for them first would be to start off on the local parish level where they are,
mm-hmm.
to investigate and see within their parish, does their parish have a Black Catholic ministry? And if it does not, they are welcome to contact me through the diocesan website. You will find me there under Black Catholic Ministry, and I would direct the person to the nearest Black Catholic ministry to where they are located, and then they would see if that particular group is a fit and is convenient for them, and within that group, their roles can range from anything from using their gifts and talents, from communications to liturgical planning. In a sense, sky's the limit. Even if you're not Black or African American, but the requirement that you have the desire to be a part of the ministry in spreading the good news of the gospel through the spirituality of Black Catholics.
So how is, you can speak for yourself, how is your experience growing up as an African American and as a Catholic in this church in America?
Well, you know, I often often say in my younger years, because I grew up in a pretty isolated town where there were two Catholic churches in the town. One was for the blacks and one was for the whites.
Mm-hmm.
So until really I left for high school seminary, I really didn't even see a problem with it and did not understand it as even being necessary. But it was when I left for the seminary and really began to be involved in ministry and understanding theology and church history that I began to realize that I had been segregated in terms of religion for many years and didn't even know it. But after really understanding, again, the history of the church and its development, began to recognize how much more important the need for evangelization of the cultures, because I truly believe that diversity, and I've preached this often, that diversity is one of the greatest beauties of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we can only truly experience that diversity when we come together and we worship as one. But we also, there are times where we need to be culturally sensitive to and with one another and recognize that we have a particular need, a particular spirituality that also needs to be fostered, that not everyone is going to identify with or can identify with.
So your experience was that, well, because of the church, it wasn't legal segregation. Was your town legally segregated, or was it de facto segregation? That's just the way it was.
It was de facto.
Uh-huh.
It was not legally segregated anymore, but it was simply by de facto. And,
yeah.
And this is common with many churches of the South. There are still, in many cities and towns, there's still what's commonly referred to as the black church and the white church.
Sure, sure.
I think there's much more interaction these days between the two churches. But for the most part, it still stands as, that was the black church, and this was the white church.
And that is not limited just to the Deep South. You'll see.
I certainly, as I journeyed on my in my vocation, I certainly learned of the many cultural expressions and cultural churches that had also come up to meet the needs of people. Especially the immigrants
mm-hmm.
who were coming into the country and needed to identify spiritual with a group, they had particular needs, mostly in terms of language, and then came, of course, the spirituality that also followed. But it was initially they needed to go and pray and worship in a place that they could understand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, especially you see it, especially in California. I'm not sure how many different languages the Archdiocese of Los Angeles celebrates Mass in, but it's a couple of dozen at least, and maybe more.
At least, yes.
And Sacramento is if people think, well, we have English and Spanish. No, we have a whole bunch.
Yes, you have English, you have Spanish, you have from the Igbo community, you have Swahili, you have Tagalog.
Yep.
The list goes on. The Diocese of Sacramento is a very diverse diocese, and I think under the leadership of Bishop Soto, many good things in terms of race relations and building connections between various communities and ethnic groups. There is a commitment on the part of the diocese, I must say, on the part of Bishop Soto, to facilitate more communication among all groups.
Yeah, most definitely. I've been very heartened by Bishop Soto's efforts. You know, this is the old talk the talk, but he walks the walk, and he really does.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So open wide our hearts. You know, this pastoral letter on racism, is that resonating? Are people talking about that?
Yes. People are continuing to talk about it, but I think more recently, what's resonating with people in the Diocese of Sacramento is Bishop Soto's pastoral letter on racism, entitled "It Is Right and Just: Journeying from Racism to Communion in Christ."
And you can find that on the diocesan website. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. It can be found on the diocesan website. But I think it is a very strong and profound statement of Bishop Soto giving witness to the need to evangelize the church on the importance of all people coming together in worshiping as we are children of God, one family of believers.
Amen. Yeah. So, Father Bart, we're with Father Bart Landry. When you look out at society as a whole, I know when I participated in a few marches when I was in high school and college, and if you had told me that in 2021 we would still be fighting these same battles, I'd have been shocked.
Yeah, and I can say that yes, while I shouldn't be, based upon the, you know, the society and the culture that I grew up in, while I shouldn't be shocked, the reality is I am. That here, you know, in society as well as in our church, that we're still having to have these honest and frank discussions about the evils of racism and how it continues to erode the fabric of the human society when we allow this tendency to negate or exploit the race of another, putting yours over and against another, you know, which is the definition of racism, because that's what racism does. Racism can never, ever unite, but it only further divides. And when it divides the fabric of our society and our church, that becomes detrimental to the life.
Well, we've seen... We see the figures. We see the, you know, whether they're FBI figures or what they are, that hate crimes are on the rise and have been. And
absolutely.
And it's shocking. It's stunning. And I, for one, you know, I don't know how to combat it other than, you know, try to raise my kids right, try to be an example around friends and neighbor. But you know, I heard something the other day. It was an African American athlete, and he was saying, "You're not." it was a little discouraging, and a little. He said, "Always be a great example," but you're not doing it for the haters. He says, "You're going to have, you may never convert them, but be an example for everybody else of the right way to do things," you know. And
absolutely.
Rather than to spend all your time on the people that are just completely against you for the color of your skin.
Yes, there were, you know, because, you know, unfortunately, there will all color of your skin, something that, you know, you personally do not have a choice
right.
about in the matter. You're born into where God sees you need to be born into. And so, you know, it's not like we have choices about that yet. That is often in our society held against us and limits us or relegates us to a particular awareness on the part of some.
It's particularly troubling, though, and I don't know why. I guess it's because it seems hypocritical when it comes from people who claim to be believers, claim to be, and I'm not just talking about Catholics, but anybody who claims to be a believer, who claims to believe in God, who claims to believe that God is the creator, to discriminate against God's creation.
And unfortunately, people who have racist inclinations and tendencies never think that through, never get to that point of recognizing that a big issue with racism is discriminating against God's creation. That's what really, I think, violates, if you will, the dignity of the human person, because that God-given dignity that is given to us all by God is violated. And so I firmly believe that we cannot say in the same sentence, we love God, while at the same time using phrases or words that violates the dignity of the human person. Those are just two incompatible statements or ideas that can never be reconciled.
Well, you say rightly that you have no control over who you are, who you were born into, and yet God had complete control over that. God knows, you know, how many hairs there are on your head. It's easier for him to count mine than most people's, because I don't have very many. but we're talking about it. We have issues on that. But people, as I get older, you know, I just had one of those big birthdays, and people are saying, oh, how's it feel to be, you know, 940 years old, you know? And you go, look, God had me born on the exact day, at the exact second he wanted me to be born, me specifically. So I'm not going to argue about it. Well, you know, would I rather be 15? Would I rather be 20? No, I want to be the age that God wants me to be. And clearly, clearly he wanted me to be born on that day. And that's the day I was born. I'm not going to second guess God.
Right. Right, that becomes, and I think personally that's part of the problem in our society, and to some degree in our church today, that we've, to use a phrase of my late grandfather, that's where we've become, in a sense, too big for our britches.
Mm-hmm.
We are trying to impose our will on the will of God, as opposed to being open to God's will and allowing God's will to be transformative in our lives.
I think we must have had the same grandfather.
Perhaps.
Too big for your britches. Boy, I've heard that a few times. Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's unfortunately, because that's unfortunate, because we're at a very critical time now where we truly need to listen to one another, hope for effective communication, that we may learn to appreciate, even if we can't always agree. Can we continue to listen and learn so that we can respect and appreciate the dignity and rights and feelings of others, others who may particularly be different than we are.
Yeah, and you know, along with that, it does. You know, I think racism, in all its ugliness, is as basic as the color of one's skin, but it carries over into, well, I don't like their cultural practices. I don't like the clothing they wear. I don't like their whatever, and it becomes a whole, almost a justification for your bigotry.
Absolutely, absolutely, and especially in society today, when we are trying to make a determination or a basis for a determination that we ascribe, we go at every aspect that we can in order to get fuel for our fire. So everything about a people, a race, a culture becomes under attack.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's an ad hoc committee here in the diocese on racism?
Yes. There is a committee that I am a part of. Mm-hmm. That committee, an ad hoc committee on racism, and this committee is in a sense different than the Black Catholic ministry. Mm-hmm. Because it addresses, or it strives to address, the ugliness of racism against discrimination against all races, whereas the Black Catholic ministry is particularly for Black Catholic and their spiritual needs in the Diocese of Sacramento. So while the Black Catholic ministry certainly works with that group not only addresses the needs of Black Catholics, but addresses the needs of all racial and ethnic groups and their needs in the Diocese of Sacramento.
Now, did COVID interrupt the masses at St. Rose on Franklin Boulevard?
Not really. It changed the dynamics in that we went to live streaming.
Mm-hmm.
So the mass continues, and right now it is both in person and live streamed from St. Rose, as well as St. Basil's in Vallejo. At St. Rose, the mass is the second Saturday of every month at 5 p.m. in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And at St. Basil's in Vallejo, it is the second Sunday of every month at 11:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. in the church.
It's a beautiful, both those are beautiful churches. I love both of them. Anytime I step in a Catholic church, that's the first thing I say. I look at my kids or my wife and I say, "This is a beautiful church." They're all just different enough, that they have their own unique stamp on them. Yeah.
And I think we in the church, and again, not just Catholics, but we believers, the body of Christ, all believe in the mission of Jesus Christ and our followers. When we can truly admit to ourselves that what you just voiced about the beauty of a church when you step into it should be that same awe that we have for God's diversity. Mm-hmm. Among cultures. They're all in their own right, each and every one different yet beautiful.
Father, people listening that say, they may be frustrated, they don't see progress, or they don't think there's progress, they want to be involved, they want to be a part of something. What would you tell them to do? What would be your advice to to Catholics out there, or even non-Catholics who are listening, that they want to be a part of the solution, not the problem?
Yeah, first off, you know, simply reach out to us in the Black Catholic Ministry, you know, on the diocesan website under Black Catholic Ministry is all of my contact information, my phone number, my email address, and how I can be contacted and get in touch with me and let me know that you are interested in being a part of the solution and not of the problem in bringing about and reconciling God's love among all of God's created human beings. And then begin to actively seek out what it is in particular, what gifts, what talents do you think that you have that you would like to contribute to the ongoing efforts of the Black Catholic Ministry in the Diocese of Sacramento.
Very well said. Very well said. Father Bart, always a pleasure to talk with you. Any events, anything coming up that you wanted to let people know about?
Absolutely. At Good Shepherd Parish in Elk Grove, on November the 19th at 7:30 p.m. in the evening, there will be a prayer service for racial healing. And as you know, and as all of the people who are listening know, prayer is one of the greatest gifts and one of the most powerful gifts that God has given to us to bring about good in the world. Because in those prayers, we can effectively petition God to bring about the good for all people. So we will be having a prayer service for racial healing November the 19th at 7:30 p.m. in the evening at Good Shepherd Catholic Church in Elk Grove. This prayer service is going to be hosted by, of course, the Parish of Good Shepherd, but the Black Catholic Ministry there under the patronage of St. Josephine Bikita. So it is the St. Josephine Bikita Black Catholic Ministry at Good Shepherd who will be facilitating and hosting this prayer service for racial healing during Black Catholic History Month.
Wow, and that's a Friday night, I believe. And
yes.
Yeah, that's another beautiful parish right there on Racket Lane in Elk Grove.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was first time I had an event to go to there, and I looked up the address and it said Racket Lane, and I went, that's an odd street for a church to be on. And I come driving in, and right next to the church, there's a swim and tennis club.
You go to Racket Club.
So that
holy
was,
racket. That's what goes on there, Bob.
That's right.
Holy racket.
A holy racket. Oh, that's very good. Well, Father Bart, it's always an inspiration to talk with you, and thanks for all the great work you do here in the Diocese of Sacramento and in society as in general, and I sure look forward to our paths crossing again soon.
Absolutely, Bob. May God continue to bless you and strengthen you in your ministry of evangelization.
Thanks so much, Father. God bless. Take care. That's Father Bart Landry from the coordinator for the Black Catholic Ministry here in the Diocese of Sacramento. A great man, and we're lucky to have him. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Deacon Kevin Stasko, the Director of the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry and Family and Faith Formation, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Deacon Kevin, and appreciate all you do. A big job here in the Diocese of Sacramento. We're pleased to welcome in Jennifer Campbell, who she wears so many hats, I can't even tell you what her title is. Jennifer, good day to you.
Hi, Bob. Yes, I do. My title is always the same. I just wear lots of hats with that title.
What is your title other than boss?
No. It's director of Trinity Pines and Camp Pendola, and then I also just do the events. So.
I would love to have Trinity Pines on my business card, which I don't even have a business card, but just the name Trinity Pines just conjures up such warm feelings.
It does. It does. It does give me the longest title in our. So.
Yeah, you have a 5x7 business card.
Yes, that's the title on. Exactly. You know it so well.
Yes.
Today I just we've talked about ministry days for a while, and I have some good news about ministry days.
Yes.
So, yeah, we have a new date. We have to postpone it due to some COVID issues, and we were able to postpone it, and we have a new date for April 1st and 2nd. That'll be this spring. And it's going to have a new location. We're going to be at Holy Family Parish in Citrus Heights.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. So, changed up the location a little bit. The campus is really, they have a lot of rooms for us that we can use. So it's going to be a new location, but we'll still have the same workshop. Most of our speakers have said yes, they can still come and visit the new dates, which is quite a blessing. And our keynote will still be there.
Catherine Angulo. Yes.
Yes. She'll still be joining us. And our musician, we were able to confirm, is going to be Pedro Rubalacavas. Mm-hmm. He is an OCP artist, Oregon Catholic Press, if you don't know the acronyms. But and he's a great musician. A lot of his music is in Spanish, but it's not solely in Spanish, of course. And so we're really excited that he'll be joining us, too, to put some life into those liturgies of the music.
Wow. That is so encouraging.
It is. The date is kind of funny. It is on April 1st, but that's
well, true.
Okay. It's not a joke. It's really happening. And Bishop Soto will be there. Working all of these schedules together, getting a location was no small feat, and we were able to make it happen. So we're very excited. The department, the offices of UCIO Ministry and Faith and Family Formation. So.
And I'm so glad you didn't lose the keynote speaker.
too. I was so concerned about that. But also, I mean, Pedro is very, very busy having a musician that's willing to come. He'll do a workshop about liturgical music, and then being able to lead our liturgy is so important. So we were able to keep him, which is great.
I've told the story before, but I interviewed Catherine to help promote Ministry Days back in either August or early September. Ministry Days was going to be the last weekend of September, and she told me, you know, that about her great. She's a professor at Notre Dame in Indiana at South Bend, and she told me of her great love for the Fighting Irish football team. Not surprising, and because as she well knows, more people attend the football game than attend her lectures, you know, and she said, I just love them. I never miss a game. And I said, well, guess what? You're going to be speaking to Ministry Days when Notre Dame's playing Wisconsin. And she said, I could hear her gasp like, oh no, I didn't realize. I was afraid she was going to cancel right there on the air. And she, and she said, I said, okay, we'll set a TV up for you.
Well, I'm glad you made her that promise.
And like, guess what? She got to watch the game, and Notre Dame won. Yeah.
Oh, they did. Even better.
Even better. Yeah. So there you go.
That worked out well.
Yeah, it worked out well.
It worked out quite well for her. And we, you know, we're just so lucky to have her join us. We've been trying to get her out for a while to come and see. Her energy is just so kind and welcoming, and she really cares about everyone she's talking to and wants the best for us. And I just think I think in this time of we're moving towards post-COVID and kind of getting out of it. We all just need that encouragement. And so, you know, having a speaker like Catherine, that's going to be, we're going to get that, and I think that's going to be so important.
And she's going to do the keynote in English and Spanish.
Correct, in English and in Spanish.
Right.
So everyone is going to hear the same message and that same encouragement. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, Bob, but I think we all just need that right now.
Oh, we do.
We need some help because it's a challenge to buck up right now. Like, it hurts a little bit, So I think having somebody...
Yeah, we It's like, it's like that something that just kind of won't go away. You know, it's like this little nightmare that you keep saying, okay. Then you wake up in the morning, you say, okay, well, I won't have that dream again. And then it comes back, and it's
exactly.
it's frustrating. And I I know it's been, I feel lucky that we haven't had tragedy in our family, but we've certainly been affected by it. We have had, not an immediate family, but, in family members that have been sick but have not died. But a lot of people have lost loved ones. A lot of people are still struggling with what they call long COVID. This very day, another 40,000-50,000 people in this country, and not to mention the rest of the world, are going to contract it for the first time. And people have been responsible and got vaccinated and wear masks and are careful. Some of them are getting it, and it's just, we thought we had it in a rearview mirror almost a year ago, and then it came roaring back. So it's just, it's one of those things that keeps nagging at us, but I keep telling my kids, I said, God has not left the building. God's still with us. God's going to guide us through it, and we just have to keep the faith. But it's nice to have Ministry Days out there dangling like a carrot on a stick. And that's
another time that we can gather and just be joyful. I think that's going to be, and we'll, at that point, it'll still be Lent, but we can bring a little joy and it's almost Lent it'll almost be Easter, we're close, but not quite there yet.
Well, that's really great. So, can you just transfer the whole thing from one to the other, or do you have to go back to ground zero and, make sure you got all your speakers and all the everything in order?
We can, for the most part, we can transfer from one to the other, luckily. People's registration, if you had already registered, you are still registered unless you requested a refund or canceled. So that kind of stuff is all still the same. Our speakers, we've reached out to them and are asking them, are you still available? You know, there are a few less classrooms. Obviously, Holy Family was an elementary school, and St. Francis is a high school, so high schools have more classrooms. But we, for the most part, can keep the same number of speakers at every workshop, at every workshop time. So that's really a blessing, too, that we're going to be able to offer the same stuff. We'll be able to still have the vendor area. Lunch, we'll still have a great lunch. We're working with the nice at at Holy Family, at Holy Family to help us with the lunch possibly. And, we've just got lots of different, it's just going to be different, but much of it will feel and look the same.
Do they have a big auditorium or a parish hall or gymnasium where they can have a keynote?
Yes, they do. They have a very large gym with a great stage. Mm-hmm. The church will also be available, so we can do our keynote in the church, the church is pretty large as well. They also have their, old hall, which, is another great, a large meeting space, so... Yeah, there's lots of room to negotiate around that campus. It's one of the sites that we did this past summer. We did day camp at, so I got to know the facility pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And we're able to do that really easily.
Very good. Well, I thought you were going to have it up at Trinity Pines.
There aren't enough classrooms at Trinity Pines.
Yeah,
so.
See, that's the thing about ministry days. You need classrooms.
We need breakout spaces, and that's just the way that we're used to doing it, where we have, smaller breakout rooms and have workshops that are, around 30 people in them, or, other conferences, they'll have less workshops, but in bigger spaces, so, that's also something that we can think about for the future as well, and as we, decide where it's going to be next year, and next.
Well, that's great. Well, so what else is on your plate, Jennifer?
Well, we are getting ready for our first Fired Up. So we'll have four days of Fired Up throughout the year. So we try to do this first one early for the North State because weather can stop them from being able to travel. So our first one's coming up in the end of November, November 19th and 20th. So on the 19th, all of the Catholic school classes that are receiving confirmation this year, so 7th or 8th grade classes, will be joining us at St. Clair's Parish in Roseville. And then on the 20th, it's our North State and event, which we will be hosting at the State Theater, which is, it shares the parking lot with Sacred Heart Red Bluff Parish. That's going to be the 20th in the morning, and we've got two great speakers lined up for that as well. That'll be joining us. And then Ryan Ramirez, who was from our diocese, but recently moved to one of the Carolinas, and I'm going to get it wrong, so not sure which one.
Hey, you have a 50-50 chance. Come on.
I think it's South, but I could totally be wrong. And so he's going to come back, our MC, and then Rocca Fuerte, who they sang a couple years ago at Fired Up, and then they helped us with On Fire 2 years ago as well. They'll be our musicians for the weekend. So we're really excited to have that happening again. Fired Up is just a great experience for our young people who are getting confirmed.
I think it's real inspirational for them too, to see all these other, like-aged, like-minded teens that they're all in it for Christ and for God and for our Catholic faith.
Yeah, and they're all in it. You sometimes feel a little siloed at your parish in your confirmation program. You don't realize that it's really up to in a given year up to 4,000 teens are being confirmed in our diocese.
Right.
So for them to get to see that breadth of our church and really see that it's not just their parish and their small group, but it's really a large group of young people who are making that commitment to our faith every year, I think is also inspiring, and it's good to see as well.
Yeah. No, it's wonderful. It's really, really wonderful. And anything else?
You know, just chugging along, trying to figure out what we're going to do next summer for camp. That'll be, I hope we have an announcement for that at the end of November, early December.
When's sort of the drop-dead date to decide on camp? What is it, early February, March, something like that?
In a perfect world, the decision we made in November.
Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, like, I have learned to pivot really well. It's one of the skills that COVID taught me, but also just working for the church taught me. And so, you know, I think for me, the, like, April is when we just, you know, final, like, no more changes. But, you know, again, if things change or adjust, then we move with that. But we like to have that announcement early so because families start planning their summers. And we want to be able to have the options that will be out for them as soon as we can. And then also so we can start hiring people.
Mm-hmm.
That's always the difficult challenge is getting everyone hired that we would like. So but that'll also be coming out hopefully December.
But, you know, the times I've had the pleasure of talking to people that you have hired, they all just universally love the experience.
They do. It is a great experience. I mean, I was not someone who went to Camp Pendola as a child. And, you know, I just went up there to help cover because Kevin asked me to. And I was there for 4 weeks, 5 weeks, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I just fell in love with not just the place, but the staff and the... And I wanted to support them. And that's, I mean, people ask me why, like, you know, applied for the camp director job and why, you know, why I really wanted to do it. And the real reason was not necessarily the location, wasn't necessarily, like, that I just love camping. It was that these were young people who needed someone to support them. And and I just felt like I wanted to be there and to experience those. And every year it's different. It's a new group of people. But the experience is something that, you know, it bonds you. So the staff, you know, every year I just hear about all their different, like, their different texting groups and, you know, their WhatsApp groups and whatever, because they stay in contact with each other long past their, you know, 6 weeks that they spent together that one summer.
It's almost like you're teammates on a sports team or a fraternity or a sorority or a living group of some kind in college. It's what's the longest you've ever had, you know, like a counselor?
Well, my old assistant director, I think, might hold the record. He was there for, I think 10 years maybe.
Wow.
As a staffer, but he'd been a camper as well. So, you know, and some of my staff have been there for a while. We recently, this website, that the camp website, is doing a competition for best counselors, not best counselor, but just like summer camp heroes. And we nominated Miss Catella. And so, you know, we're really organized. Like, she's been there for a very long time as well. I mean, I think this was her fourth summer as a counselor, and she just loves camp, and so she comes back, and she not only loves camp, she loves that week. Those kids are her top priority, and she wants them to have the best experience that they can have at camp because she loves it so much, and she wants them to have the same experience she did, and I think that's so important, too, is that to remember that for, you know, they're up there to, like, make friends and form a small group community with their staff, but to give that experience to the kids so they want to come back with their adults to be the next Miss Catella or Mr. Cameron or whoever it might be.
Isn't that just great?
Yeah, it's a good experience. It's a good summer job for a couple reasons. One, you're pretty remote, So you're earning money, but there's no way to spend it.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
When you start that, you know, go to that first quarter or semester or the next for fall quarter, you've got money that you might have spent if you just had a job and worked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's one of the pluses of the job. But there are many more that have nothing to do with money. Being some kid's hero is definitely one of them.
Yeah. Well, Jennifer, always a joy to talk with you.
Thanks, Bob.
We look forward to you being back on the program. Look forward to seeing you in person.
Yes. yes, very much.
That day will come. Hey, God bless and take care.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. That's Jennifer Campbell, who's the director of Camp Pendola and the Trinity Pines Catholic Center up in Camp Pendola is in Yuba County, but the Trinity Pines Catholic Center is up in Colfax, up in the foothills. Beautiful little town up in the foothills. It's right outside of Colfax. Our producer Gabe has been up there and fished in their pond with little success, but that we will save for another time. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
Well, here I am in a river of questions. Can I pour my heart out to a listening ear? But I see this life, its valleys and mountains, and I think of all the roads that brought me here. Oh, that brought me here. Walking down the road. Well, I've questioned my reasons, this life I'm living. I question my ability to judge wrong from right. Well, I questioned all the things I've ever called certain. My race, my religion, my country, my mind. But the one thing I don't question is you. You really love me like you say you do. You really love me like you say you do. So hold me, I need you. Hold me. is the word.